Sunday afternoon. Am I well? I'm light years ahead of where I was 7 days ago, 8 days ago. So I'm doing tons better. So thank you for asking. Nice. So this evening, continuing in our series of sermons from the book of James, and when Andrew Stewart, one of the elders here who kind of helps oversee evening services, asked me to speak, I said, oh, will I be contributing to the series on James? And he said, yep. So why don't you choose a passage from James that you feel like really encaptures or is like perhaps the most important or a kind of a pinnacle piece in the book of James. So for me, that was really easy. There's a passage in James that sat with me for a long time. It was one of my like, memory verses when I was way back when, I think, newly married. And so I grabbed it. And it's that last passage in the book of James in chapter 3 on wisdom. And when Elijah here was preaching on James chapter 3, he quite sensibly took the earlier passage on taming the tongue, because it quite, you know, chapter 3 kind of breaks kind of naturally like that. And so this passage from James chapter 3 was left vacant for now. So we get James chapter 3 on wisdom. So what I'd like to do is to read this passage and pray. I'd like to talk about why I think it's so important. And it's about wisdom. And I want to take up that kind of theme of that, well, actually, in contrast to that, a theme of nonsense that kind of comes through in our society, and a theme of like nonsense pointed at men in general and dads in particular. And I want to talk about why James chapter 3 stands in sharp contrast to that, calling us, not just dads and men and particular, but everybody to stand up and to live our missional lives in a way that brings honor to God, that is wise, that is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, like we're just about to read. So let's open James chapter 3. I'll just pause and let's pray. Let's just allow a moment of quiet prayer as we open God's word and as we are here, a gathering in his name. Let's anticipate God's holy presence and his word to speak to our hearts. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you sent your Son as the Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. I ask now that your abiding presence would usher your peace into our hearts, that we would know that you are truly God over all things, over our lives personally, over this world today, over our calling into your family, that you would, Lord, lift us up in the hope that brings forth from peace, that we would live so surely for you. And so, Lord, please bless this reading now, Lord, to our hearing, that these seeds of Scripture would be a much fruit for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. James 3 from verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. I read these words and I reckon that these are like the centerpiece of the entire book of James. They're like a mountaintop. as if the entire thought of James turns on these ideas, and that we do so well just to pause and to consider again what these words mean and what is the message of the book of James for us. James opens up and asks the question, are any of you lacking in wisdom? Well, ask God and he'll give it to you. Wisdom. Talks about living for God in times of persecution or under temptation from sin. Chapter 2, those famous words about faith and works belonging together. And here is this cry in chapter 3. Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. There's this coming together of the themes of James. James chapter 3 opens up about taming the tongue, saying few of you who should become teachers, and how dangerous the tongue can be, like a small flame that sets alight a wildfire. And here's that question, penetrating question, who is wise and understanding among you? It's almost a frightful question. It's like, oh, not me. But no. It's like this call, it's a commanding call out of Scripture. Who is wise and understanding among you? Stand up! Let your works rest with your faith. Be strong in times of persecution. Use your tongue for good. Who is wise and understanding among you? I believe this is the centerpiece of the book of James. James goes on to talk about living in honor and being sincere with your wealth and living within the community and under the command of the eldership of the church. And again, we hear that call, that cry, that question, who is wise and understanding among you? Not to cower from that, but to stand up and to be counted. Hear it again. Who is wise and understanding among you? It is a commanding call. So here's something that wrecks me off. My family know about this. Television advertisements that sell stuff using men who are pure idiots. It's everywhere, from vacuum cleaners to insurance, to holidays. For some reason, we're able to sell stuff by showing that men are buffoons. That we can't clean, that we don't know how to organize our lives, we don't know where our stuff is, and we're going to mess stuff up and quickly. In our society, it is perfectly okay to treat men as buffoons, and in fact to use them as idiots to sell stuff. That to me, it's just like it pervades our society to such an extent that that's okay. You wouldn't get away with using women in the same way. But it's okay that men are idiots in society. So here's a lesson. It's a lesson in evolution. The evolution of man. In fact, the evolution of TV man. In fact, TV dad. So can we have slide number one? Slide one of one. Okay, the evolution of TV dad. All right, so you roll back to the 1970s. We couldn't get enough of Little House on the Prairie. Then what's the dad's name?
Charles?
Charles Ingalls. All right, dad, Charles Ingalls. Now, Charles Ingalls is the centerpiece of his family. Goes to church every Sunday. In times of persecution, can quote Scripture. Solid, dependable, a disciplinarian, absolutely present in and for his family. Provides for his family off the sweat of his brow and works hard. 1970s TV dad. We couldn't get too much of Charles Ingalls. All right. Now, this is a little bit hard for us to understand, but you roll to the 1980s. Why it's hard to us to understand is this. In the 1980s, New Zealand had only just got a third TV channel. All right, so there's no Sky, there's no Disney Channel, there's no internet, so there's no Netflix, there's no YouTube vloggers. the way that we access media today and the things that entertain us, it's a little bit like a shotgun. There's so many different things that could like grasp your entertainment right now. But at 7 o'clock or 7:30, like in like 1987, like there was Channel 1, Channel 2, Channel 3. It wasn't going to be Coro Street, so it was most definitely Tim the Tall Man, all right? And that was just after Homer, all right? That was it. The way that this pervaded our society was absolutely immense because kind of like for our entertainment, that was it. So from Charles Ingalls, that guy, TV Dad, to Tim the Tall Man and Homer Simpson, TV Dad became a complete idiot. Tim the Tall Man, he was successful. He had his TV show. But the whole thing turns on the fact that, gee, you're stupid. And then there's Homer Simpson, who sits there and, well, he's not even successful. He's got this dead-end job and never gets promoted. Messes up all the time. Dads became idiots, and it was okay to laugh at them. Now, so there's an image of, so roll back, say, 10 years, and it has to be 10 years because that was kind of when I, like, my kids would come home from primary school and have the TV on, so that's kind of like how I was connected to it. So there's iCarly, right? So Carly has her own, like, internet show, and I was watching this program with my kids and one or two others that they were watching, and I realized that where are the adults in these programs? And what's more, where are the parents? So what's that program with, there's like the two boys, the twins who lived on the ship? Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. So here's two twins, they live in a ship. In the first or two, one or two series, Mum was there from time to time. She was like an entertainer on the ship, but you hardly ever saw her. All right, and Dad definitely certainly wasn't present. And there was another show that was similar. So there were like these three shows that like filled up like TV time like 10 years ago, very, very popular. Where were the dads? Nowhere. Not a dad to be seen. Now, there were adults in the show, like Carly's big brother, and who was he? A complete and utter idiot. Turns up for a bit of like comic relief. The children in these shows tended to be either incredibly wealthy or enormously talented and had no parents present or conveniently written out of the script. Or where there were adults, they were idiots and they were to be laughed at. Here's the evolution of TV Dad. Serious, dependable, goes to church, provides for his family. Moves to, let's laugh at him a lot because he's so stupid, to, he's just not there. Now, I have some sympathies with maybe a feminist critique, and you like might look at like, you know, Little House on the Prairie and that whole kind of model that might be like oppressive or disempowering for the roles of women. Sure, we can have that critique, but let's just pause with the whole, like, what happened to dads? And how our TV entertainment deals with dads. Now, there'll be exceptions to the rule, of course, all the way. But somehow we've got to a point where it's perfectly all right in our society to point at men and say, men are stupid. To the extent that it pervades us so much that we'll just sit back and we'll take it. Now, you might want to say, look, Philip, this is just a whole bunch of TV and we all, like, have a laugh. Who hasn't enjoyed Homer Simpson and Tim the Tall Man? Well, actually, I believe this is really serious. Yes, we have a laugh at these shows. We can take that slide down now. But these shows, they're a window into our community, into our society, in fact, right into our homes and our living rooms. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and it is just so deathly serious. Here's why. Steve Bidoff was a very famous Australian psychologist, written a lot of books. He wrote a very famous book called Raising Boys. In his book, Raising Boys, he wrote it in the mid-1990s, so this is where, you know, Tim the Tall Man, Homer Simpson, they're like on rerun after rerun by this stage. He made a really bold call. So you'd be familiar with ADD, attention deficit disorder. So it's a medical condition, a learning disability where people aren't able to concentrate, attention deficit. He suggests that ADD should in fact be DDD and stand for Dad Deficit Disorder. He wants to take that on and say, actually, this is not so much a physiological issue, but actually a relationship issue. That in his experience as a psychologist, dealing with young boys in particular and girls as well, that his experience is this isn't so much about chemical responses in the brain, but actually the absence of primary relationships. That dads have not been present for their children and for their sons in particular. And one of the responses to that is these learning disorders. Now, there's exceptions across the board, of course, but as a general rule of thumb, that holds true in so many cases. This becomes enormously challenging. James would have had so many issues that would have confronted him when he asked the question, who is wise and understanding among you? Now in the 21st century, we have critical and important issues that face us as we face that same commanding call that says, who is wise and understanding among you? And it is not okay that we'll point to men and we'll say they're idiots, buffoons. It is not okay that men are not present for their families, their children. And I wonder why that is. And how will we, as followers of Jesus, as people who take seriously the word of God, who wish the word of God to be seeds within us and bearing that fruit of righteousness and peace, how will we live differently? There's two kinds of wisdom. One is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And another is different, and it's like this. Verse 14, if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. And I wonder about that envy and selfish ambition. And I wonder if that's where our dads went. Chased after promotion, chased after other jobs, other people, other wives, and became absent for their sons, their daughters, their families. If that is the case, well, they are idiots indeed. How will we live differently? How will we take on a different way of being? Who is wise and understanding among you? It is a commanding call, and we are to stand up and to live differently. Show by your good life your works born of wisdom. Well, what is that wisdom? It is a wisdom that comes from above, which is, first of all, pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. I plead with you, men and women, live differently to the world around us. Do not chase after selfish ambition, any kind of vain conceit that sees things or other relationships as more attractive than where God has planted you. These are very challenging words. We might know ourselves or people who are close to us who have had to live without dads, key primary relationships, And that is where Christian community becomes just so essentially important, that we can model, mentor, and be strong for others who've been thrown a bad blow. So hold that close as you consider these words. So selfish ambition and vain conceit, that is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. There is a way of God which is pure, peaceable, gentle, and willing to yield. So let's break this down really small. What's something that I'll do today and this week that will have me on that road? That answers that question, who is wise and understanding among you? And you go like this and say, it will be me. What will you do? Here's one thing. Break it down real small. If what is unspiritual, earthly, and devilish is selfish ambition, vanity. And what is above is pure, peaceable, and gentle, and willing to yield. I want you to take away one thing to do this week. That's the attitude of gratitude. To be thankful simply for what you have, and not to be chasing after more, different, or other. To realize that God has gifted you with so many great and beautiful, beautiful things. The family that you have, the friends around you, church community, work, school, opportunity, education, food for your belly, a pillow for your head. Can we all lie down this evening, put our head in a pillow, and think through our course of our day and give thanks for sunshine, for food, for relationships? When our heads start to become full of chasing after things that are perhaps come under that heading of selfish ambition or vanity, to pause and say, no, I'd be thankful, content with what I have. Who is wise and understanding among you? Dear God, let it be me. Let it be me. Let it be among us. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word, which is clear, your Holy Spirit, which empowers us to walk in your way, the very heart of Jesus that rests within us. We thank you for the question, who is wise and understanding among you? O Lord, for your glory, and in Jesus' name we pray, let it be us. Amen.